moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help us as we dig into your word tonight. Lord, help us to learn, help us to be attentive, so that, Father, we may get what it is you preserve this for. That, Father, as we walk through and we see through the great hall of faith, all those that stood up and did the mighty, Lord, help us to see why they did it and how they did it. They did it because of faith, and they were able to do it because of you. So, Father, I pray that our lives would be able to mirror these souls that we look at tonight. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I wonder how many sermons I've heard in my life. And then I wonder how many sermons have some of you who are a little bit older than me have heard in your lives. Probably quite a few, am I right? I used to sit there and I would have these notes, and I would take these notes and keep these notes from sermons. And after a while, the notebook you kept your notes in would get too full, because again, that Flat Rock, he'd always have those half sheets of paper, and you'd have the sermon notes on there with some blanks. You just fill in the blanks, and after you keep those for a few years, and you've got a couple shoe boxes full of them. And it's amazing to be able to go back to some of those, take a look at them, and just kind of refresh your mind on them. But we've heard a lot of sermons. In those sermons are a lot of warnings. Don't do this. If you do, this will happen. Do this and it will prolong your days. Do this to honor God. Do this and God will reward you. There are things that we see through Scripture that are warnings to us as to how we should or should not obey. A good warning should be a welcome thing. Wouldn't you like a good warning? You sit there, and nowadays, if we know that there's bad weather coming, we could know 4 or 5 days ahead of time now, don't we? They're not always spot on accurate with it, but we're going to get some snow. How much snow? 72 inches. Okay. So you do the math. You know the weather person math, right? And that's going to be a light dusting, you know. And you just kind of do the math. All right, so if it's this, then most likely it's going to be that. But we've got warnings. And then, of course, I saw this wonderful picture. Made me laugh. It's the difference between a watch and a warning. And it was a picture of taco ingredients in tacos, right? A tornado watch, we have all the ingredients, right, to make tacos. A tornado warning is, we are now having tacos. Right? So a taco warning versus a taco watch. A tornado warning versus a tornado, we are now having a tornado. We've got that stuff. People didn't have that years before. We've got warning systems. We've got lights that pop up on our car. Hey, low tire, get gas, close the door. We've got warnings. They ought to be a welcome thing. Right? I heard somebody ask one time, the check engine light is on in my car. How do I make the light go off without having to take it to a mechanic? Somebody said, well, what you do is you go under there and you just pull that fuse out and the light will go off. The light will go off, but you're still having a tornado in the car. No, that's not how that works, but you get what I mean. Right? A good warning should be welcome. What's more is that a good warning should be abided by and listened to. Noah heard God's warning. And even though there was no way he could fully understand what this threat was or what that threat could do to him, he believed God. And he and his family were saved. We have scriptural warnings from God about the things that are going on around us today. We see in Scripture, we look up and it's exactly going on. Sometimes it's stuff out of the book of Romans. Sometimes the stuff you see is straight up book of Revelation. But you look up and you see it. The warnings are there. The warning is here and I see the action out there. It's like that tornado watch. Well, the wind's picking up. And the sky is turning colors. I think they're right. We should, if we've got any reasonable sense in us, be able to look at Scripture, look up at this world and say, It's starting. As a matter of fact, so many of the things we've been warned against are already here. And I'm not talking about signs and wonders. I'm talking about society and the effect of sin on a people. It's getting rough out there. Noah was warned. And we would sit here and we would look at the life of Noah. By the time we got up to where God spoke to Noah, it had been some time since God had spoken to anybody. Now, we know that we're still in the beginning parts of Genesis, but you've got to understand there were some years packed in the beginning parts of Genesis, and people lived them. So some time had passed since God had spoken to anybody, and as sin became more and more rampant, God was less and less willing to speak to us. Now, if God's so real, why doesn't he just end the debate right now? What makes you think God can even come anywhere near where we are? Or God would come anywhere near where we are right now? The things that we've done to this earth, the things that we've done to each other, the amount of sin that is rank in this planet, what makes you think God would? We've got to acknowledge who God is and what he's willing to put up with. Right? When I was a kid, we didn't like when mom and dad came by our rooms because we would always hear those same words. Clean your room. So we did everything we could to make sure mom and dad did not come near. This world needs to be aware that you might not want God to speak to you about what you're doing. Because it's going to hurt. God is not as soft and loving towards sin as some of modern day Christianity claims he is. But Noah, as he heard this warning that God gave him, verse 7 again, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as of yet. So he was warned. A flood is coming. I'm disgusted by this world. I'm going to flood it. What I want you to do is I want you to build an ark. I want you to build it to these specifications because in such and such a time, I'm going to cause it to rain. And I'm going to flood the earth out. And I want you to load up the animals here. And then when everything is done and you guys come out, you just repopulate the earth. Which sounds just insane, doesn't it? And no doubt to Noah who sat there, and if we're agreeing with the Bible, and we should, this cataclysmic event would leave a long-term damage to our planet. Nowadays, scientists more and more have begun discussing a cataclysmic event that took place anywhere between 6 and 10,000 years ago. And they're pointing out things. Hey, do you see where water would have risen up here in a rapid rate? Do you see how this has happened? That is, of course, they've blamed that on like a meteor strike causing tsunamis and things like that. But of course, when I look at Scripture, I see very simply what that could be. What would cause so much of the earth to flood? Well, how about the Genesis account of a flood? How about we go back to every culture? I think it's in the 50s or the 60s, different cultures that have a flood story in their history. Long before we were able to hook up our geology enough to where we could figure out something like that happened, they were already telling a story we just figured out. Noah had no idea what a flood was. According to the Genesis account, prior to the flood, it had never even rained. Which, if you account to where the water was up in the firmament, it would make it more difficult for the evaporation of the water. No evaporation, you're going to have a hard time with the water cycle we enjoy today. He had never seen rain before. And while I'm sure that there were boats to ferry people here and there and to go out fishing in, I'll guarantee they had never seen a boat that large. Because boats like that, boats that large would have been really difficult to build. And it took a very long time for them to build this ark, so there weren't a lot of them. So he'd probably never seen one that big before. At least not by these dimensions. No, I want you to build an ark. A what? An ark. It's going to rain. It's going to what? Rain. And that rain is going to build up and is going to flood the earth. I don't know what you're talking about, Lord, but he did it. He did those things. He built that boat. He put the animals on there. God caused the animals to come in. He loaded them on up. He took care of them for the days of the flood. Took care of them while the waters abated. Did everything God had asked him to do. Why? Because he had faith. He believed what God had to say, even though to him it made no sense. There are things that I have conversations with people. They point out there are things in the Bible that does not make sense to them. Well, how come God says you're not allowed to do this? How come God says that you ought to do that? That don't make no sense to me. You know what? There's not going to be a lot of things that make sense to us. You know, there's a lot of things that don't make sense to me. And I was talking to Brother Mark about the sound system. And he's got this logic and he's got this understanding of how it works. To me, the depth of my understanding of it is this one goes here. This plug's in there and this plug's in there. And if it's not plugged in, it's not going to work. Right? I don't quite know a lot about technology, but I use it every day. And it works. You know, I sit there and, you know, I can type up a sermon. I could put it on a page like this. I could save it. That's all magic to me. There might be wizards in there. I don't know. I don't understand it. But it works. You know, you sit there. There are people who've got great minds for technology. They get it. They understand. But just because I don't understand it don't mean it don't work. I had that argument with my brother-in-law a few times. Jared, that don't make no sense. Jared, I don't think that's going to work. He just kind of looks at me. He goes, yeah, but it's going to anyway. So, you know, I like Jared. He always says, he's got the funniest things to say sometimes. I don't get it. You don't have to. I got it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I think it should be like this. Yeah, but do you know what you're talking about? No. All right, let's trust me. You know, God knows what he's doing. And more often than not, when we've abided by his statutes, we have found better lives. We have been better off than had we done things any other way. And again, not that we particularly need proof. I need to see that this is going to work before I'll obey it. No, after a while, you develop a rapport with the Lord. You develop a respect for him. So Noah, he believed. And he took God at his word. Lord, if that's what you say, then I'm going to do that. I've never seen an ark before. I've never built an ark before, but I'll build it. I've never felt a raindrop on my head. The earth is watered by dew. But I'll prepare for it. What kind of wood? All right, I'll go get it. I'll pitch it with what? Okay. And he did it. And it really is that simple. The problem is we get to talking to ourselves too much about stuff. Well, I really want that. You know, we could sit there and we could talk about the things that spiritually you're not supposed to do. And we could get all bummed about those and get all riled up about those. But you know, when your doctor sits there and tells you you need to change your diet, that's perfectly acceptable. When you get a professional come into your home and say, hey, listen, if you want air conditioning, you got to do this, that, and the other. We don't sit there and say that, well, that's unacceptable that you pass so much judgment on me, right? Oh, well, you got to upgrade this. Oh, you're so rude. You're so mean. You know, what was that one joke? The guy goes in to see his doctor and he says, doctor, every time I touch my arm, it hurts. And every time I touch my leg, it hurts. And every time I touch my head, it hurts. Doctor goes, wow. He goes, well, here, let me try something. And he touches the guy's finger and he goes, ow! I see your finger's broken. That's the problem. You know? How dare you? My finger works just fine. Ow. Ow. We don't get upset about our doctor passing judgment. I don't know. Maybe you do. But typically, morally, we don't get upset by those things. But when God tells you to do certain things in your relationships and have certain kinds of relationships and not have other kinds of relationships and not do this with your behavior and do this with your way of thinking, well, all of a sudden, well, there's too many rules. Too many rules. Brother Mike offered to let me borrow his car this week. I don't think he offered. I think somebody offered for you. Right? Yeah, somebody offered for you. Okay. Oh, you offered. I looked over at him. I said, well, bro, don't. Bro. I said, brother, I appreciate that. I've only got 6 points on my record, so I should be fine. I'm kidding. I haven't had a ticket since probably today. I'm going to get in trouble for IRACs. I'm not superstitious. I just believe the devil listens. A lot of rules out there on the road. Awful judgmental, these police officers. Awful judgmental, these legislators that come up with things to tell me what to do out there in the, You know, I'm glad I'm not wrapped around a telephone pole. I've got a relative likes to wrap his car around a telephone pole every now and then. It don't look good. One time he did it for Christmas Eve. Now, I had to go visit him in the emergency room. He's all cut up and banged up. And I said, well, what did we learn?
I wasn't doing anything wrong.
I looked at the ticket. He was doing something wrong. Don't learn. We can sit there and we can make every rule our enemy. Or we can sit there and be patient and find out why that thing is there in the first place. It's like those lockout tagouts for electricity, right? You ever have somebody pull one of those off? I better not. But I did that one time. I was replacing a hood fan over a stove. Not very difficult work by any stretch of the imagination. But I popped the breaker off. The lady came walking through the hallway, saw that the breaker door was open, saw one of the breakers were off. She thought, well, maybe that's why my overhead fan isn't working. And I am so sorry. That's when I learned about locking things out, you're tagging things. Oh, man, that's too many rules. There's a reason the rule is there. There's a reason it's there. God has a reason for the things he tells us. It is up to us to obey. Well, how do I? Lord, this is very difficult. You're asking me to do something difficult. You've told me to do something I'm not going to be very particularly good at. How am I supposed to get this done? Give it a chance. It's like we preached on recently. Let's see what the Lord will do, right? Let's see what the Lord will do. I'll give it a push. I'll give it a shot. I'll see what he's going to do. But I guarantee there will be an answer. It's going to be yes, no, or wait, but there will be an answer. And that answer will make perfect sense. In time. In time. So Noah, he was warned. Or the great thing about being warned, though, with Noah, is Noah wasn't like the many people who were warned and did nothing. Noah was warned, and he was, what does it say, moved. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Moved with fear. He was moved. Now, there should be some fear when we see warning. Don't go over there. Why? I was like that when I was a kid. Don't go over there. There's bears. Look over at my cousin. So what time are we going over there? Well, they're going to go work out in the back, and we're going to go over there and look around for the bear. We never found it, thankfully. Don't get up on that rail. It's loose. Is it? Oh, it's loose. Yeah, it's loose. There should be some fear. When you get the warning out there, and I'm not talking trembling and shaking in your boots kind of fear, waking up in the middle of the night crying kind of fear. I'm talking about some respect. Hey, don't do that. I think I've used this illustration before. I'm not afraid of snakes. Don't want to get bit. Won't do anything that would get me bit. At least I'm going to try. Right? You remember that's Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. Right? Most dangerous snake alive. I'm going to pick it up. And he picks up, he's holding it in the camera. Guy was bit so many times, bless his heart. I love that guy. But man, he'd jump right on top of something that would willingly eat him. Willingly poison him. And you think that at some particular point, you'd look at that and go, you know what? You probably shouldn't do that. There was something missing in that man's brain that said, don't do that. Me, I look at an alligator, I want to leave him alone. I look at a snake, I go, I'm going to watch you from over here. I've never wanted to own a dangerous animal. I've never wanted to pet a dangerous animal. Why? Dangerous animal. Label's there for a reason. Hey, would you like to come pet this tiger? Nope. Not even entirely sure I want to watch you pet that tiger. You do you, man. You do you. Give me a call later so I know you made it. Right? There's a reason for the warning, and the warning ought to give us some kind of fear, some kind of respect for the situation to where we're not going to risk things. And I'll tell you what, we ought to respect God enough not to challenge him. Not to challenge him. Well, you know, that's what they say, that's what they preach, but I'm not entirely sure that that's as dangerous as those preachers are saying. I'm not entirely sure that that is as bad as I have always heard, so I'm going to go give it a try. Well, what happens? You try it, you like it, and before you know it, you're kind of sliding off into other sin. God is convicting you. God is chastising you, and you're sitting there going, well, I don't know what's going on. Well, I'll tell you, you touched something God told you not to touch. And a little leaven is leavening the whole lump. It's causing all sorts of trouble for you. It's changing your attitude, as we preached this morning. It's messing with your countenance. You need to let it go. So I trust God enough to not challenge him. We ought to trust God enough to hear him out. To hear him out. You ever do this where you try to tell somebody something and midway through, they've already corrected you? Now listen, you're going to want to walk real careful when you're going down there. Well, I wasn't going down there. Okay, but just in case you do, I'm not going down there. No, but seriously, I'm not going down there, all right? 3 or 4 days later, they go down there and they find out. I hate that. Right? Hear me out. Hear me out. We're so quick to want to be right. We're so quick to want things our way. You know, I had a big problem with that when I was a kid. All right, listen, we don't slam this door. I don't slam doors. Okay, but what I'm saying is the door's breaking and we got to be real. I don't slam doors. I don't know what you're talking about. You get what I'm saying here? Shh. Listen. Hear God out. Well, I don't like that. Okay, but hear him out. Maybe you've got it wrong. Maybe the thing that you're presuming, maybe your false sense of innocence, maybe it means more to you than it should. Because if you're wrong, it's going to get you. If you're wrong, that sin will take over. If you're wrong, you know, Noah could have sat there and said, God, I don't know what an ark is. I don't know who you are. I don't know what rain is. I ain't listening. What would have happened? That flood would have come and got him. Right? It does not matter if I choose to believe that God is serious about something or not. God is serious about it all the same. So I ought to hear him out. Well, that's not a very popular opinion right now, Lord. God don't care about what's popular. He don't. You know, for the longest time, people were going crazy over these bracelets. And you pulled them off and the kids would show me at church. They would come over, this one's a dolphin, and they would put it on their wrist. And I go, okay. And they would buy them, and their parents would go to the store, and they'd have them all the way up their arm, just an entire zoo going all the way up their arm. And then next week, all the bracelets were gone. And they were replaced by the next new toy. And the next thing. Don't they do that with fashion shows every year? This is the new color. This is the new color. 2023, this is the new color. Do you think God cares about what's popular with us? We can't even make up our minds on what we like or what we don't like. You know, I was always behind I was always behind on things. If there was anything that was cool, it took me about 2 or 3 years when I was a kid to get it. Oh, these shoes are the best. So I'd go and get those shoes. What are you doing with those shoes? Those are old. Nobody likes those anymore. You're dumb. That's what they would do. God don't care about our popularity. God don't care what people like. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't work. The end. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't work. So that fear of God, I want to hear him out. We also ought to fear God enough, respect God enough to follow through with the things that he has said. To follow through. Many of us were really good at starting things, aren't we? We are really good at starting stuff. But we got to follow through. We got to find ourselves being consistent. We got to find ourselves continually doing the right thing. Continually doing things right. Right? So we got to have a little bit of follow through in us. We've got to make sure we see things to the inevitable finish. Not only would there have been a fear of God, but there also would have been a fear of losing his life. This flood was catastrophic. This danger, this thing that was coming, changed the world forever. Wiped people out. And we could sit there and say, well, that sounds awfully mean. You got to look at how debauched the people were acting. It was bad. And now God is sitting there giving him mercy. And folks, when we receive mercy, we better recognize it for what it is and take advantage of it. Sometimes people fail to see mercy when it's offered to them. Well, what do you mean? I don't think that's wrong, so I ain't got to apologize for that. I ain't got to repent of that. I don't got to stop doing that because I don't think it's wrong. God's giving you mercy. the opportunity to repent, you need to take advantage of it while he gives it to you. Because there's going to come a time when the trumpet blasts and we're called up, and it's going to be over for a lot of folks. Oh, there'll be some saved, but I think they're going to be mostly Hebrew, if not all Hebrew people. We need to make sure we're right. We got to do it now, because once the rapture happens, that window's closed for a lot of people. Window's closed. So, take mercy when it's handed to us, because an eternity in hell is a terrible thing. A lifetime of consequences from sinful actions is a terrible thing. And I'll tell you this, we're all fixing to go one day, and we get to decide how the story ends. I can't fix the beginning of my story. Can't do much about the yesterday part of my story. I can handle tomorrow and every tomorrow afterwards. You know, Noah has a decision. How am I going to die? Am I going to die in this flood with these people? Or am I going to live? When I die, or the Lord comes back for the rapture, I don't want to be a sin-sick Christian while I'm doing it. I want to be found faithful. I want some victory over these things, and I want to be in a solid state of having victory over my flesh. That's where we all ought to be. That's all where we all ought to want to be. I don't want to be a sin-sick Christian. I want to be one who is living faithfully. Now, as we continue on in this verse, prepared an ark for to the saving of his house. To the saving of his house. You know, Christianity is not just a mommy-daddy thing. Christianity is for everybody affected in the house. You know, I had a conversation with a coworker one time. Well, do you drag your kids to church? I'm like, what a phrase to say. Well, why? Why do you drag your kids to church? I go, because they're babies and it's illegal to leave them at home, you fruit. What a bonkers thing to say. You should leave your children home. They're babies. Oh, you need to go back to whoever taught you and ask, what do I do if they say they're babies? What do I do? You need to go back and ask that. You need to upgrade on your information, because mine are babies and I'm not leaving them at home. Right? The expectation is that the God that saved me is going to be the God of my house. And that's my choice to give it to him. Right? He gave it. He owns it. I've only got it because of him. It's his. And everybody under it is going to abide by him. Mommy and daddy are going to abide by him. The boys are going to abide by him. Even that tough little girl. He's going to abide by them. Well, what happens if one day they move out and they do their own thing? That's on them. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Because those actions will be a blessing to them. The education I give them will be a blessing to them. And when the Lord saves them, and I pray that he does, they will have all the foundational information they need to go on and begin living a Christian life. It is my job as their father to give them the tools they need to live a moral or God-based lifestyle. I need to teach them that. I need to teach them to pray before the project. I need to teach them to pray when they're frustrated. I need to teach them to put scripture into their decision making. That's on me. If I don't give them the tools, whose fault is that? Hello, it's dad's. That's my job. Bible says who should be in charge of the education of the children? Right here. Mom does the nurturing. She does a lot of the training and the teaching. But ultimately, who's responsible? Who does it fall on if they're not taught? Dad. And I wish there was a lot more Christian fathers who understood that. I wish there was a lot more people out there handling their responsibility to their children to teach them how to live. I was working on the car. I got Xander to come out with me. Now, there's not much for him to do. But I remember when I first started off helping out Danielle's dad, there wasn't much for me to do. What's the point? We've all been there before, right? You hold this. And when I ask for it, you give it to me, okay? And I did everything you're supposed to do. What's this? What's this? What's this? Cool. All right, let's get going. Teach them how to do the regular things. But you know what else is dad's responsibility? Not just how to do the car, not just how to pay the taxes, not just how to get your groceries, manage your bank book, not just those things, but to trust in the Lord. And I'll tell you this, if you set out to do so, and I know most of you have already raised your children, but let me talk. We need to teach them more than that. Teach them how, and the Lord gives opportunities to show them things. You know, we recently took, I mentioned it this morning, we got to go to the Capitol up there in Lansing. And Xander looked at me and he goes, how? Because we got pretty far. For those of you that haven't heard the story, we went in, we accidentally went in a security door. Security guard goes, hey, I understand it's no big deal, don't worry about it. But if you go over there, you can get join a big tour. But if you want, and he winked at me, you can get a book over there and do a self-guided tour. And self-guided tour is my style. So we grabbed that book and we walked through and we were kind of following another group and that was fun. As we came up the stairs just as the Senate portion of the state government released and they were walking out. And I was trying to get a picture of Xander up by that door where they would have their meetings. And one of the senators came up, it was Senator John DeMoose, comes up. Are you looking to get a picture inside? And I go, yeah, yeah. And he introduced himself to us and called another senator to come over and stand by us. They brought Xander into the room. And he got to stand there between these two senators, took a picture. I go, man. I go, no one else doing your assignment is going to have this. Because we still, even though we're homeschooled, we turn the homework in to get graded. Right? Because we don't want to mess our kids up. But we send it on into them, get graded, and they'll get that back. I go, no one else is getting that. As we were walking out, one of the tour guides was telling the group, now remember, you cannot actually go into the room unless a senator or a representative invites you in. I looked over at him, he looked over at me, and go, as we were taking the picture, one of the senators go, hey, why don't you come across the street over to our office buildings? We've got some coloring books for you. I didn't get one, but he got two. Wait a minute. Do you think one of them was supposed to be for me? We'll sort that out later. He said, no. We were getting into the car. We had a good old day. I mean, we had passes to walk around government buildings. And to most people, you're like, ha, nerd. But it was fun for us. Fun. He sat there and he goes, are all your adventures like this? I go, buddy, daddy has learned that if you just step out, sometimes God opens crazy doors. Now, you might not think being able to walk around a government building is a crazy fun door to open up, but if you're doing a school assignment and you're trying to nail a field trip, it's a crazy fun door. So you know what we did? We sat there in the van and we prayed. Lord, thank you for giving us this experience and that experience. Not only the ability for us to come here and spend the day together and learn about the different branches of our state government and how they work and view the building and see all these things, but Lord, thank you for letting us run into these people and them being willing to talk to us and getting their picture and being able to go over and have conversation. Thank you so much. That's important for a father to teach his child. Those good things, those fun things come from the Lord. Well, what about the ordinary, everyday things? They come from Him too. What about when it's not fun? Well, those come to Him too. You know, we're in the back talking about my car, having a hard time getting the van working. We got this trip coming up. You know what? I told Brother Mike, I said, you know what? I'd rather this stuff happen here. It'd be terrible for that to happen in Ohio. Be a nightmare. We're sitting there, we're in Kentucky, and things break down. Now, I know some family down there that would probably hook me up, but I wouldn't want that to happen down there. There were some things I learned about our van in the last couple days I needed to know before we took it out on the road. Well, that sounds like you're having a hard time. Yeah, but I'm having a hard time in the right place, so go with it. You know? Recently, I had that issue where I was going in, I was getting my heart tested, checked this and that. Turned out it wasn't my heart at all. There was an issue with my diabetes. I was doing the intermittent fasting thing, did some damage to myself doing that, and, you know, it got bad. Now I wasn't doing my diet right, and I was doing some things that really was bad. Found out my diabetes was bad. I had to get an extra medication. Guess what? I wasn't going back to my doctor for another 6 months. That is a hard way to live. That was a rough situation for me. That was a scary situation for me. I wasn't happy about that. But I understood later what God was doing. We can come into 1,000 different things where we just need to do what God wants us to do. Be smart. Show good stewardship. Follow basic biblical principles. And I'm telling you, we're going to come through. So he had a fear for his family. I want to take care of them. I want to make sure they're safe. You know, Lord, you're willing to save me and you're willing to protect my kids too. I'm absolutely going to take this word. And of course, we know that. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Well, I don't know, brother. I know a lot of people who grew up in this church. They grew up here and then they took off. You think they ever really departed from it? You don't think that that preacher's words don't ring in their ears every now and then, 40, 50 years up out of the church? You don't think they still got to step over the statutes of God just to get to doing what they're doing? They didn't depart from it. It stuck on them. It stuck with them. There are things that I was told as a child that still come back to me. And I go, all right, yeah, absolutely. I know what I'm supposed to do here. Not depart from it means they're stuck with it now. All right, so if we laid the groundwork, don't feel bad. All right, it's at least making their terrain a little difficult, right? They at least got to step over it. He had a care and a concern for his family. If I mess up, if I sin, if I don't obey, what does that mean for my family? What does that mean for my children? What does that mean for my grandchildren if I compromise now? If I give in to sin now? If I disobey God now? When in my hardest of situations, when I have proven, hey, in the great times, God is good, isn't he? Hey, praise the Lord. But when the bad times come, I give up on them. What is that going to say to them? I got to have a concern. My service to the Lord belongs to the Lord first and foremost, but there's some extras in there. And your family are a part of the things that get blessed when you serve the Lord. When you live righteously. Because I'll tell you this, the devil wants your marriage. He wants it. He wants you bickering. He wants you fighting. He wants you immobilized, unable to make a decision or solve a problem together. The devil wants you at each other's throats. It's got to be us versus you. It's got to be me and you, and we're fighting and we're doing this. I'm the good guy, you're the bad guy. We've heard about that, right? I'm the good guy, and I need you to tell me I'm the good guy, and I need you to admit that you are the bad guy so I can feel good. That is a horrible way to fight, by the way. Horrible. So what do? We need to do everything we can to put the Lord into our marriages. We need to put the Lord first. We need to show love, compassion, and mercy whether we think the other deserves it or not. We need to deal with our own sin and our own problems whether or not we think they're serious or not. The devil wants your kids. The devil wants your grandkids. And here's the thing, I know how that sounds. He doesn't want them like he wants to collect them up and have them like that. That sounds crazy. You know what he wants? He wants them not listening to the Lord. He wants them living sinful lives. He doesn't care a whit about them. He doesn't want to count them. He doesn't want to know their names. He just wants to make sure that they are living by the flesh. He don't care about jail sentences, addictions, diseases. He doesn't care about bankruptcy. He doesn't care about divorces. He doesn't care about any of those things. As long as we're having them and as long as we're doing them, go, 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 go. So he can sit there and stand before the Lord and say, look, look at these people. We need to stand fast. We need to build that ark. And because Noah feared, because Noah was faithful, we find him different than everybody else. And that thing that set him off was just that, or set him apart was just that. It was faith. You know, you go back and you look at a church. What is the difference between the people that left and the people that stayed? faith. You know how many conversations I've had with people that tried to prove to me that they loved God, they knew God, and they served God, and they didn't attend church? Oh, I love my mom. I'd do anything for my mom, but I don't go to her house. Why? Because I could love my mom from home. My mom would give me such a smack. I mean, doesn't that sound ridiculous? Well, do you have a doctor? Yeah, I've got a good doctor. Love my doctor. He's a good doctor. He's a great doctor. I really think he's intelligent. Got a lot of degrees on the wall from a lot of fancy colleges. He's a good doctor. Well, do you ever, when was the last time you went in? Oh, it's been years. Why? Well, I could get good health at home. Well, don't you have this problem, that problem, and the other problem? Well, only if you think they're a problem. Folks, we need faith. Faith will set you apart. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing it that way? Nobody does it that way, because God says do it that way. That's why. That's why. Why are you still hanging on to that old truth? Nobody believes it, nobody likes it, it won't pack your church. Yeah, but God told me to do it, so that's what we're doing. We need to have faith. And I'll tell you this, there's going to be a lot of chickens letting loose here in the next few years. There'll be a lot of them. A lot of people who, when things get worse than just being tweeted about, will cut and run from the Lord. What will be the difference between those that run and those that stay and take it on the chin? Faith. Knowing what you believe, knowing why you believe it, and having the guts to do it. That's what we need. That's what we need. He had faith. And he was surrounded by a world that didn't have faith. When God looked down, he found one person who was properly faithful. Could you imagine that? I mean, we look at churches, their numbers are dwindling, but could you imagine being the last person on earth with a proper amount of faith worthy to show mercy to? That'd be rough. The last Christian standing. It wouldn't be much of a rapture, would it? It'd be a very small rapture. Last person on earth with faith still had faith. And he had a monumental faith to go with. He was a monumental faith. It does not matter what people believe around us. It doesn't matter how many are faithful. We're called to be faithful. So when it comes down to me, I have to be. When it comes down to you, you have to be. And it is between you and the Lord to maintain that faith, to strengthen that faith, and to carry on with it. The whole thing set him apart. He had a relationship that other people didn't. He was preserved where other people weren't. And of course, it's hard to imagine that much death and that much disaster happening on earth. But my friends, I look around, I see people today, they're as good as dead, caught up in that sin. And it should scare us, and it should motivate us to give the gospel, to stand in the Lord. You know, why do you keep telling me this about the Lord? Because I believe him about an eternity in hell. I believe him when he says that it's a sin nature that'll put you there. I believe him when he says that everybody's got one. And I don't want to see you hurt. I don't want to see you hurt. Sometimes I'll try to imagine the conversation between his sons and their wives. Ham sitting there. Hun, this is what dad wants to do. Is your dad crazy? He might be. But I don't know. And I'm not putting it, I'm trying not to assume again on scripture, but, well, what are we going to do? I think we should get on the boat. Ham, come on. I mean, how many years have you sat there building this ridiculous thing? Do you really think it's going to, what was the word again? Rain? Come on. A flood. God's going to kill everybody but us? Come on. How would that even work? But I bet when the day come, what did Noah tell them to do? Get on the ark. What did they do? They got on the ark. All of them. And they lived there for as long as it was necessary. See, they found preservation. I have found, you have found preservation in Scripture. There are people that I used to spend time with in high school. They went to jail. You know what kept me from going with them? I didn't do the things they did. I've got people that I used to hang around in high school deeply addicted to things. I've got family members I came up with deeply addicted to different things. And I tell you what, I've seen family members, I've seen loved ones hurt themselves and get hurt because of their actions. And you know what stops me from doing that? I don't do those things. Right? Now again, that's not pride. That's not arrogance. Right? Were it not for the Lord saving my soul, who knows what trouble I would be in today. But the point is this, you can't get arrested for robbing a bank if you don't rob a bank. At least you shouldn't. Right? And if you do, you need to check your lawyer. There's a problem with your lawyer. Right? Pay closer attention to where you are. Have an alibi. You know, you can't get in trouble, right, for cheating if you don't cheat. You can't get in trouble for theft if you don't thieve. You can't get in trouble for lying if you don't lie. Don't do those things. It'll preserve you from a lot of heartache. Preserve you from a lot of trouble. It was like that story I told recently of the game that we used to play when we were kids. We'd jump off the shed, my buddy's shed. We'd jump off to see who could go the furthest. My mom says, I don't want you doing that. I did it. You know what I learned? Don't do that. You know when I could have learned that? Mama's kitchen. If I had just listened, I'd have learned already. Whereas my pastor says, you don't have to put your head in the garbage can to know it stinks. It's a garbage can. It's going to stink. You know, it's drugs. It's going to hurt you. It's a lie. It's going to hurt you and other people around you. It's whatever sin it is. It will, by nature, come and get you and make things difficult. So you know how you have some preservation? Don't do those things. God told me not to. I don't do them. I'm preserved from those dangers. And the first and foremost and utmost of all the things, the biggest of all the things that we are preserved, is we are preserved from hell. And I want as many people to come with me as possible. I'm glad I'm not limited to the restrictions on the ark. I can bring as many of my friends as the Lord's elected. Give that gospel. Well, just your friends? Well, I'll give it to anybody. Wouldn't that be fun? That cashier, that person who was changing your oil, that guy that came out and fixed the pipes in your bathroom. Wouldn't it be fun to see them there and be like, oh, I remember you. You gave me the gospel. I've been talking about you for years. I wonder whatever happened to you. Thank you for doing that, by the way. We can bring as many people with us as we like. Again, those elect people, they're out there. We'll get them. So we have that preservation. It steps us apart. Now, the next thing that we see here, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What do we mean by he condemned the world? What do we mean by that? You know what'll get you in trouble? The phrase, I can't do that. Or, it can't be done. Well, no one's ever given up this sin. And you know what? Nobody is that close to the Lord. Nobody has that kind of a prayer life. You can't have a Bible study that way. People put themselves down. I'll never be able to understand that. We're talking about the Lord. It doesn't matter about your IQ. He'll fix that. I've seen people who weren't any good at all in school. But when it came down to the Word of God, they were scholars. It happens. Well, I'm not a very good reader. That's fine. God will help you. Take it slow. Take it slow. Well, we'll sit there, oh, it can't happen, it can't happen. And there was all these people, about Noah, who sat there and said, well, I don't have to live that way. I can't live that way. Look at all the alcohol. Look at all of the just rampant sexuality out here. Look at all the things we have. Who is listening to God anyway? It's not even possible to do that. But Noah did. And what did that do? That pointed a finger at those that didn't. It pointed a finger at those who didn't. It was possible. It was important. You were capable. If Noah could do it, you could do it. But you didn't. It's like what we read in the book of Romans. There are people who did not like to remember the things of the Lord. So he gave them over to a reprobate mind. They made up their mind. It was a reprobate mind, and he let them keep it. Go ahead, have them. We ought not to have a reprobate mind. We ought not to be lazy or lackadaisical in our actions. Because there's going to be other Christians that can do it. And them doing it will reveal our weakness, will reveal the true nature of our surrender. It's not that we couldn't do it, we refused. It's not that we couldn't do it, we willfully chose not to. So whether your faith is strong or weak, that's up to you. As the disciples said, hey, grow our faith. The Lord said, you don't need growing faith. We need to exercise our faith. Exercise the faith you have. Put it to work. Because I'll tell you this, it'll come down to our own rescue. It'll come to our own preservation in life if we've got it in us to obey and to show faith and to do whatever it is that he's asked us to do. It'll come down to our rescue. Life will be 1,000 times easier. It'll protect us from harm. It'll protect people around us from harm. When we live and act in faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for this time that we could spend together in your house. Lord, be with those that are ill. I think it's of Gordon Bard right now, and I think of Sherry with her feet and Sister Mary with her back brace and all the ailments that are going on. Lord, for Sister Theta, for Bonnie and Nancy as they are struggling, just Lord, be with those sisters. Give them healing, quick healing from their surgeries. And Lord, for all those here with private needs, things going on, Lord, I pray you bless this trip down to the conference for those that are making it. Lord, bless the services for those that are staying here. Lord, just bring us closer to you. Use your word to fix every aspect of our lives that need it. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.